Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. It's the night of Elysium, and everything has gone to absolute hell for a coterie. The FBI attacked TJ Malone's, and Everett did his best to stealth away from the scene unnoticed. Iris prepared for the social event, oblivious to her friend's danger, and Ridley was hit with a light grenade before he could escape. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
You know, Ridley, if there's one thing your old mam used to say about how much the weather sucked back in England, there were just those days when the clouds would break and you'd just have a proper blue sky, and those are the days, if she wasn't working, she'd always take you to the park and tell you, I don't know if I can remember this voice, but...
Right now, Ridley, you remember from your old mum, it's always good to appreciate the sunlight and all the vitamins it gives you. So always try and enjoy it. Ridley's the name I think you should have, but you don't have yet.
It sounded like Ridley in his head now because he's so in character, but in memory, it was Richard. So it's close.
Yep. And then she'd pat you on the head and give you a bonbon. And then point out people around the playground who she thinks you could probably beat up just to help build your self-confidence and knowing that it's a rough neighborhood. Today, however, despite trying to make a habit of not disagreeing with your old mum, the sunlight is not a great blessing. It is, in fact, a curse. So the sunlight grenade goes off. You feel your flesh begin to burn. Now, the good news is, because you threw Seymour Wainer at it, he has blocked it from you slightly. Not entirely, but a bit. What is your current Bane rating? Or Bane severity?
I'm Ventru, so it's just I can't eat stuff.
Right. You should actually have a number, though, based on your... it'll be based on your generation, which I can also look up for you.
I am a 13th generation, I only know that.
Okay. Well, just give me a second to pull up your Bane. Because basically, sunlight will burn based on the Bane severity of the generation of...
I know my blood potency, but I don't know my Bane whatever.
Yeah.
Is that why you get thin blood daywalkers?
Yeah, because it won't burn them.
Why book would you not include Bane severity? I ask you. I demand.
It's almost like they didn't include it in character creation, which is why we didn't write it down.
Fuckers. All right, one sec. It's on page 214, apparently. So I'm flipping pages real quick.
Nice.
Just that sweet, sweet, how badly do you burn action. Very important.
Very important.
Okay, I've got blood potency.
Da, 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 da. It appears that Bane severity equals half of the blood potency rounded up.
Hey, good man.
Two.
All right. So one. So you'll take one.
No, I mean, it's two divided in half rounded up. It was three.
Okay, great. You're going to take 2 points of, or no, sorry, because you threw Seymour Wainer at it, you're going to take 1 point of aggravated damage. Unfortunately, Harvey and Chonky have no such protection and will each take two. Is that right?
Yeah, if I've got protection, then it goes to one, then they take two each.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Harvey takes two. Chonky only seems to take one. He kind of yells like, ow! But Harvey's like, oh, god damn! I feel like an armadillo in the middle of the road, or some equally appropriate cuss word for burning.
And I just yelled at him like, get out of fucking back door.
They're all running for the back door.
I think I'll keep yelling it
running for the back door.
I think he'll just keep yelling it. He doesn't like that they're talking.
Great. you're all booking it towards the back door. As soon as the grenade goes off.
And Ridley would, I think, at this point have activated vampire toughness if he knows he's gonna get shot. Yeah.
There are armored SWAT guys coming down, and just immediately just a hail of gunfire follows. They're doing a proper spray the room action. Ridley, as you're sprinting, are you trying to cover Harvey and Chonky, or are you just trying to get the fuck out of Dodge?
This is everybody get the fuck out. I'm more injured than them, actually, so he's trying to get the fuck out.
Gotcha. Okay, so I need athletics and... probably strength again for just like fucking sprinting for the exit. Meanwhile, as you're rolling that, Everett, you hear a bang from downstairs and then the sound of gunfire. Also, your pocket is buzzing.
I'll grab the phone.
It is a much nicer phone. Good work, Bear Boys. It's a text message from Iris. Iris, what would you have sent to Everett? Would you tell him the whole story? Would this be like a call me when you can? What do you tell him?
Oh, can't hear you.
Yeah, sorry. It would be something important happened last night. I'll tell you later. But just be prepared where things are going down.
All caps response. Mayday's under siege. FBI and CSIS need help.
Well, what? And I just respond back, what the fuck?
You can tell that she's actually concerned because she typed the whole thing rather than the WTF. Tyler, I like to imagine that that Everett, Jesus, now I'm doing it, had a full like Harrison Ford realizing he has to go back for something like grumble eye roll. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I've snuck myself into a corner, yep. Right? Because it's the DJ booth, the karaoke like DJ setup. Yep. But I, for the moment, I appear to be safe here. I'm assuming the bar is not safe enough for like cover and concealment. But if I poke my head out, what do I see going on in here?
So there are a few bear boys being arrested, who are kind of like thrown up against a wall, and being roughed up. There are a few customers. Malone himself is unconscious now. They've like knocked him out. But for what it's worth, the bear boys are still doing what you would expect a level 3 biker gang would do, Ryan. You see, they do have value, which is
to me.
They're whenever they can, they're creating they're basically just creating as much ruckus as they can while being arrested, to kind of buy you as much space as they can, presumably Ridley as well. They're limited in that they've been like the ones who are here have clearly been caught unawares and or overwhelmed by the breach and bang. But they're still doing whatever they can to make it reckless, which will give you an advantage when trying to stealth around. It's going to lower the difficulty of your checks.
Yeah, this is a dumb question, but the speakers for the DJ booth, are they like, is it just speakers right at the booth, or are the speakers all around the bar for music?
I think all around the bar. After the Mad Martha incident and realizing that the people who saved him kind of like karaoke, he really came around on the whole thing and has invested heavily.
Okay. Then I just want to turn the volume up to the max for maximum like sound coverage to like cover the sound of me moving around. And I'll play a song and try and move out.
So you just bash go on the DJ equipment. What song plays?
It's not a choice. Again, it was just like play whatever, but fuck the police comes on.
Yeah, it's a big request in this area of Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay, so the speakers begin to just blast fuck the police. And immediately, like, everyone kind of jolts because, as you know, from a professional grade sound system in a small-ish dank bar, it's far too loud. Yeah. And it's also karaoke track. So it's just like fuck the police, but just like a weird shitty MIDI cover. So it's even more unsettling because you know what it's supposed to sound like. But it doesn't. So everyone is visibly jarred. Were you gonna use this just to distract everyone, or were you using this to specifically get somewhere?
I was trying to make a move, yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking to, because the guys that were standing at the door at the basement went down, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking to go down behind them.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Pulp Fiction style, like you're Butch walking around with that katana, you just start like creeping down the stairs and you see four SWAT guys just fucking like spraying the room. You can see Ridley mid sprint with Chonky seems to be kind of dragging Harvey whose skin is on fire just kind of like smoking and crisping. Ryan, what did you roll on your check?
Two successes.
Okay, so you see Ridley like leading the charge out towards the what's probably like the loading dock for like kegs and that sort of business. What do you do?
Right. Okay. I see that they're escaping, which is good, but they're also being shot at. So I will sneak down the stairs to the SWAT guy that's like furthest up in the stairway, the guy that I'm closest to. I'm just going to reach in front of him, pull the pin on a grenade, flash, smoke, frag, whatever. I'm just going to push him down the stairs as hard as I can. I'm going to turn around and run out the other way.
Okay. Amazing. Ridley, as you book it to the exit, you hear like, oh, ow, ow, damn, man, as an agent stumbles down the stairs, and then you just hear him shout like, Tabernak! And another sunlight grenade goes off. So Oof. Ryan, you're going to need to leap for that door, bud. Give me athletics and stamina.
Dex?
Oh, dex, cool. Actually. Yeah, let's go dex because you're throwing yourself through the door. I got to roll for some other people.
Two successes.
Okay. So you're going to take 1 point of aggravated.
Okay.
But you burst through the door into the back alley. So Chonky stumbles out after you, the two of you look up to hear people shouting like, "Get on the ground!" On either side of this alleyway are squad cars that have blocked it off on both sides, and there are cops moving out with guns. Now the good news is, they aren't the SWAT guys. These are clearly the backup. So they look a little squishier. They're wearing like tactical vests, but they're not in full armor. Chonky just mutters like, "Oh, fuck, I could really go for a cat right about now. Oh, no, I could go for fancy people." He turns around and is like, "You." And just like bites into the side of the skater boy. And he's like, "See you later, boy." And he throws him to one side and he just starts charging one of the cars. Ryan, what do you do?
Oh, he's just going to follow the same direction. This is just break through the encirclement. No question. So full like Deadpool burnt looking, like loping werewolf run, just monster human.
And beside you have like big guy in a Final Fantasy game run where it's just like gut out, arms and legs to the side, just like plowing forward. Okay, awesome. So you're just charging the car?
Yeah. I think Ridley, knowing his style, will be going for the full body spear into the vehicle for the first cop he can get his hands on if they're in front of it.
Okay. Amazing. Iris, you received an email or a text message saying that all of this was going down. I assume you kind of bolt for the door. What do you think Iris would do?
I am no longer dangerous. So I don't know how much ease I could be. So I think I'm probably starting to rack my brain about what I can do at this point.
So then can you roll me? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I would first go searching through that box of guns.
Mm-hmm. So the good news is that because they're like a box of illicit firearms, that someone who doesn't really know how to use guns and can't use two hands to like steady like an assault weapon could wield, everything's pretty pretty cheerful. So we're talking like small caliber submachine guns and the sorts of things you could use one-handed, which incidentally are things that Iris, I think you would probably feel comfortable with. There's no like giant honking like fucking assault rifles. It's more like, you know, an Uzi or a pistol. Would you take a pistol or an automatic, do you think?
Automatic.
Or a sawed-off shotgun?
Probably an automatic. Okay. If they're under siege, I want the quickest pain as possible. Okay.
So I think in one of those classic, like vaguely miscongeniality style montages, it's like, it's not like, "Hell yeah, give me the guns." It's just like fucking belt across, guns in the belt, ammo in the belt. Like, fuck.
And I'd probably put on some badass lipstick too. There's time for that.
I understand. There's always time for lipstick. Do you fill Emily in on what's going on?
I was also going to say, I unfortunately probably have to wake up Emily to see if she can send any help.
She wakes up. She's like, "Oh no. Well, that sounds terrible. Unfortunately, due to some recent murders in the werewolf community by Kindred, they're kind of not exactly on speaking terms right now. So I feel like that would just make things worse if I sent them. Apparently someone tore out someone's heart, and apparently she was kind of a big deal. So there's some like real bad blood there. There's a whole hunt going on. Anyway, it's messy. So like probably not the best to call the vamps or the wolves. Okay, but you're so wow. Okay, you look badass. Good job. You look like you're gonna kick some ass and take some names. That's nice. Good lipstick color. B, do you, I mean, I can't call the wolves, but do you have anyone you can call?
Well, if you don't mind calling the Bouchard brothers for me.
You want me to call the Bouchards? Yeah, I can absolutely do that. So they're the only vampire reinforcements you have?
It's very leading, Tom. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a DM.
There's also a woman named Azaria that if you could give her a call or shoot her an email or a text, she might be able to come and help us out.
Okay. I will message Miss Tyrell. Excellent. Well, good luck with your siege. Don't get killed. I don't know if you can die or not. You're feeling okay from, I mean, you don't have your claws anymore. Do you know what happened there?
No, and I don't really have time to figure it out right now, Em.
Okay, all right. Can you roll me, Miles, I'm going to say insight and intelligence.
Hi there, I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks starting from as low as a dollar, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to of course at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dumb Dumbs and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Four
successes?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Miles, I need you to roll a... Did you roll a rouse check already today?
Yeah, I did.
You did, okay.
I passed.
I just want you to have hunger again. It's always funny when Iris fails. Usually very funny things happen. Okay, so four successes. It occurs to you that Drac was responsible for your kind of feral mode. And despite what the people who attacked you said, you seem to be able to weather it and control it in a way they weren't expecting. So theoretically, if you were to dose yourself with Drac again, you could likely recreate the feral effect.
Do we have any?
You're asking me, Tom, the keeper, but I'm going to assume you're asking Emily, the character I also play.
I just don't remember if we
think again, like for argument's sake, as the idea occurs to you, you ask Emily, and she produces a couple vials, from the, tied up now, like stripped down to his very unimpressive tactical, like boxer briefs and, stained singlet, just looking real rough. Emily has not been kind in the feeding room. But she produces two vials, which is just, you know, be careful. Don't do hard drugs. That's kind of been our rule for a long time.
Okay, I will. Thank you. This may come in handy.
Great. So, Miles, if you want to mark down on your sheet, you have two doses of Drac.
Okay.
Great. With that, you go and wait for your Dinkeldorf cab to arrive.
Meet me.
I'm just so happy that the Dinkeldorf cab company is something that exists in our world. But in slightly less rosy news, Tyler, you've ran away from the man you pushed down the stairs with a grenade. You hear shouts of confusion. You hear gunfire. You hear a couple of very human screams. It would seem that your distraction caused a lot of chaos downstairs. That said, as you kind of run back up the stairs, the agents who have been kind of trying to arrest the bear boys turn. Can you roll me a... Or actually, Ryan, I'm going to get you to do this. Can you roll me a strength and brawl check, please? On behalf of our sweet, sweet bear boys.
That is 4 successes with 2 tens, one of which is on a hunger die. They're not Ridley, but that is a messy successy.
Indeed, a messy successy.
It's someone who's not me, so I can't do the full voice.
I understand. That's why I'm saying it in a very academic way. It is indeed a messy successy. So as the agents who, again, are just like the FBI agents who are like the really trained like investigators who are just wearing those stupid windbreakers, as they kind of turn and kind of reach for their guns, the bear boys leap into action. And I gotta say, like, big dudes, biker types in a small dank bar, this is their favored terrain. So they just fucking destroy these guys. And as soon as they get weapons, they're like rushing to the front door and just like wild firing out of it to try and keep people away from the entrance. And they're just like, we'll say it's Jean-Luc, because we've established he's very capable. So Jean-Luc Picard turns around and says, "Ah, yes, number one. It would seem there is quite a disturbance happening here. I will hold down the door as long as I can. Perhaps go help Mr. Beef downstairs."
Right. Mr. Beef hightailed it out of there through the cellar door with the other kindred.
Very good, sir. Shall we make a hole?
Yeah. What about you guys, though? Look, I think I might be able to sneak out of here. I don't know about you. You're shooting at the FBI.
Honestly, just another day on the job for us. We're the bear boys, sir.
What the fuck kind of biker gang is this?
The kind that says shoots to at cops. So if you want to try and sneak out, they can provide distraction to give you advantage, or they can try and make a hole. Which do you want?
Well, there was this explosion upstairs, which... was upstairs ground level, right?
Yes. So that was them breaching the door.
Okay.
Blew the door open, flashbangs in, sweep the room. Unfortunately, there were no vampires up here. So it was just like sunlight. Everyone's like, "Ow, my eyes." And then just full drive through.
I'm going to take off my long coat, put on the FBI jacket of one of these guys that have been beaten up by the bear boys and had their weapons taken.
Tyler, I got to tell you, it was a messy successy. They weren't beaten up. They are pulpy dead. You're taking a pulpy dead lawman's windbreaker.
Okay. So I can, like, is it still a jacket or is it just
it's completely clean, fucked? Just given your moral code, I want you to be aware that you're taking it off a dead agent of the law.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have nightmares about that for the rest of my life. But in this moment, I need to get out. So
because it was a messy success, like just watermelon heads, you know, just crack, crack, splat, splat.
I don't understand this world. I thought I understood the world of humans, but these humans pulped the heads of FBI agents.
Tyler, these were humans that Ridley Beef found and said, "I like you a lot. You work for me now."
These are level 3 humans. These are proficient humans.
They're so proficient. One more level up, and they're just the government. Level 4 actually, biker gang, just going to bail out Wall Street.
I was say, actually, one more level up, they're a private military contractor.
Jesus Christ.
You have Blackwater as one more dot.
Blackwater, so if you're lucky. Like fucking Foxhound if you're not.
I'll put on a dead guy's coat, hang his badge around my neck. I'll pick up another dead guy, and I will basically run out the door. Like carrying him.
Oh, Tyler, I love you so much, buddy. That's great. Lose a point of humanity for me, bud, and out the door you go.
Great. I've got 2 strikes through humanity. I've got a strike through 2 boxes of humanity. Do you want me to fill in one that struck out, or just lose a full one?
Just add a strike to another one.
Okay, another strike. Okay.
Yep.
Fans are going to riot. They're going to hate you. They're going to be like, they're supposed to have a night off.
Actually, shockingly, they eat this shit up and I hate it. I hate that they like my pain.
You know what your night off is? It's called Mythos Mysteries. Bad things are happening all the time, but it like 10% less some of the time. I was going to say Valentine, but like that ain't a night off. One shots is on hiatus. That's your night off. All right. So you you burst out of the door into the Montreal night. A heavy rain is falling. There are two SWAT vans have pulled up. There's cars. There's a clear perimeter. There aren't that many cops out here. It seems like a lot of them came in. Also, Everett, to your eye, this looks like a very hasty operation. And you don't know this, but we, the audience, do. Given that the surveillance technician was like picked up by luck, not as part of an operation, they had to scramble pretty quick to put this together. So they seem understaffed, if that makes sense.
Is there an ambulance or paramedic?
There isn't, but as soon as you come out, I think they're calling for one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm basically shouting. I'm basically just falling back on like my legitimate like police training at this point. And it's just I would just say like, we got men down in there, and I like just like haul this corpse like past the police line to me.
So you can actually speak English to these guys, which is delightful. And your accent kind of works because it's clearly an international collaboration. Go ahead and roll me, please, manipulation, and I think
these are my strongest stats. Let me get my one die for manipulation.
Yeah, that's good. That's
would it be composure, his ability to keep it together while carrying a dead man?
Actually, based on what he said, and this is going to sound like I'm rigging the roll in your favor, but I'm going to give you investigation. Because you don't actually have to play this part. You are literally carrying a man you would ideally like to see get an ambulance. Also, you didn't see the sunlight grenade, so you have no hint of Inquisition at all. Yeah. So for you, these are just cops. So weirdly, I don't think you're lying to anyone. I think you're literally just yelling what you would yell if your partner had been shot.
Except you've told me that I already know these guys are completely destroyed. So I know I am hauling a corpse and I'm just using it.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, you just talked yourself out of a role there, Holmes.
I mean, this game always goes in my favor anyway, so fuck it. Right.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. We're doing it live. Okay. Then in that case, I agree, Ryan, I would take so we'll say composure rather than manipulation. And then I'm going to say subterfuge.
Okay.
Or persuasion. You can pick whichever one you want.
Doesn't matter. Great. I'm just rolling three hunger dice. Two successes.
So sad that that's how that played out, not more dramatically. So you start calling for medic, and the two scared patrol people outside are like, oh shit! And like one of them grabs him, like agent down and then like looks around, is kind of like I don't know if it's one of ours or one of theirs, but either way, send an ambulance, maybe help. Oh shit,
this guy sounds like Cesus.
You get the sense that this guy might just be a Montreal cop who's here with all of them. As you yell that, people immediately like rush up, to take, the agent off your shoulder.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Take him. He needs help.
And as they do like CPR and stuff like that, Everett tries to just like fade away into the night.
You almost do, until you hit, the patrol cars, at which point,
just like,
you just knock cars in every direction.
It's that Meet Joe Black scene of just like the car goes by and Everett gets hit and then hits another car and it keeps going.
You reach the cars, only to have a voice just say, "Oh God damn it, Everett!" And you turn to see Billy Kincaid half holding her gun up at you with a look of just absolute horror on her face.
Sergeant Kincaid.
Everett Fry. Can you tell me why you're wearing an FBI jacket, Everett?
Dress for the job you want.
She shoots you in the head. outside, Ryan, you are saber-toothing alongside Chonky. You know, just a proper father-nephew run at these poor keep an eye on the back door cops. Go ahead and roll me strength and brawl.
That is three successes.
All right. Describe to me how you destroy this patrol officer who is holding a shaky revolver at you.
Yeah, I think it's sprinting forwards, and then he manages to reach up with one hand and just shove the gun up, and the other hand he just pulls a leg up, and then it's just crunching the guy into the frame of the car, and then turning around just kind of throwing him over the shoulder. Like, it's just bam, fireman carry down onto the concrete.
Okay, amazing. Beside you, Chonky just runs up and just like full on just shoulder rushes the guy. He gets shot twice. You get shot once, but human bullets out of a small caliber. What are you going to do? So Chonky smashes the guy against a wall and just starts pummeling him. Just saying, so, and he's just, as he continues to punch, he's like, so getting shot doesn't kill us, I guess.
And I'll be like, don't kill him, put him in a fucking car. But no, it's pretty dope. He'll go around and see if there's like him off keys, the hood. Keys in the ignition of the police car.
Yeah, they're ready to roll.
Great. Then he'll grab his guy if he's still whatever and just chuck him in the back anyways. And then they just peel out. Like, fuck this place. Gone.
Great.
If Harv's there, Harv's in too. Yeah.
Harv is not there. Harv was never mentioned getting out of the building. We don't know what happened to Harv.
Nope. We'll deal with that later then.
Off
he's just
you
driving.
Go. Great. Everett. Billy shoots you in the head. So go ahead and take... 3 points of superficial damage.
I don't have enough squares to do 3 points of superficial damage.
Superficial is one line through and X eliminates a square. So you go over by one line and then you cross them off. And then I go back?
Yeah. Okay.
Superficial becomes aggravated as it keeps adding up.
Okay. Then I have enough.
So the bullet hits you in the forehead. And I think by instinct, you fall backward. And hit the ground. What do you do?
I can think and make decisions.
Dude, you're fucking Kindred. You got shot in the head by a human weapon. It hurts.
Rouse the blood to just pump blood out of the hole in my head?
Oh, shit. Yeah, if you're going to try and pretend that killed you, go for it.
For now, that's a fail. So okay. I do it, but I'm hungry?
Yes.
Okay.
So blood begins to just fucking pump out of the wound in your head. And you just hear Billy go, oh, God. Oh, my God. No. No. And she like sort of starts to stumble backwards. She drops her gun and she's like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And then behind here, you hear a voice just say, oh, no. Billy, what have you done? And she goes, I thought he was one of you. And the voice just says, well, Billy, you just killed a man. And she just starts to weep. And he says, don't worry, I'll clean this up. Just get out of here. She just like weeping, like starts like punching the hood of the car and just screams, like starts screaming obscenities and kind of like walking away. And then you hear a voice just kind of lean over and say, all right, listen, laddie, I'm going to need you to stay real fucking quiet here. All right. Playing a bit of a long game and I'm going to need you to kind of pretend you're dead. Hmm?
glurgle glug.
You feel a hand just like pat the side of your face. He's like, ah, that'll do. And then strong hands start dragging you away from the scene. You've all successfully made it out of Mayday Malone's, especially you, Iris.
Yeah, I show up and then I just like kind of link
you're
backwards.
In a cab covered in machine guns.
And then I see that like everything is like not fine, but I can't find you anywhere. So I just kind of like close the door to the cab again.
Yeah, we're not entirely done with your scene, Miles. I was making a joke, but yeah. So you pull up, like the cab screeches up. You boot open the door, you look out, and you see that, like, a couple of bear boys are being arrested. The bar seems to be fully under, like, a police lockdown. And, yeah, you just kind of, like, ease back into the cab. And I assume, where would you give it directions to take you? To Elysium?
But, like...
We have a party to get to.
I know, but here's the problem. Everett told me they needed help, and clearly they still need help. From what I can see, like, I think they're probably arrested or dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to weigh if I would just take the Draken and kill everybody. Because I don't know that any of them are safe. Honestly.
So what do you do?
I know. I'm trying to...
Iris Dunn, the woman who wanted nothing to do with these idiots, has come to realize that her only family in the world is Emily and these idiots.
These dumb fucking idiots.
Looking at the vial of Drac in your hands, knowing that your only chance to survive vampire society is perhaps with these two incredible enforcers at your side. Iris Dunn, what do you do?
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, that's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.